as happens every year when the legislative session ends, we could try to unpack as many different angles of what went down from as many different topics and from as many different things that they'll cover within the legislative session. We turn to different folks for different topics, and right now we turn to Tim Temple to cover the insurance end. Good morning, sir. Welcome back. How are you?
Morning, Brian. Glad to be here today.
Glad to have you on today. Where do you want to start with insurance items that were covered within the legislative session? There were a number of different bills.
Well, yeah, I think this year probably saw one of the highest level number of bills that were introduced to the legislature with regards to insurance, mm-hmm. insurance reform, insurance change, whatever you want to call it. It was also an election year, so that was on the tops of everybody's mind. There were a lot of bills that were introduced. Some passed, some didn't. And, we can go, I obviously have my perspective. I'm very interested in what's taking place as I am a candidate for Commissioner of Insurance. So just to give you kind of a, I guess, off the top there, bills that passed, there was an assignment of benefits bill, which will prohibit someone from signing their rights away under their insurance contract, which we saw that last year. It was a bill passed. I think there's some active litigation going on with some roofing companies and whatnot that kind of game the system, if you will.
Okay.
The Fortify Roof Program, which was passed last year, made law.
You know what? Let's start with that one, because I think of everything that went through this legislative session, that one's going to be the one that affects the most change in the shortest period of time.
Well, I'll disagree with you. I think because it's a long term. It's a long term play. Okay. The Fortified Roof, and I'll tell you. So the Fortified Roof program was passed last year. Mm-hmm. It was funded this past session. So I think it was somewhere around $30 million, $30 to $35 million, and it's a grant program for people that are building a new home mm-hmm. and they want to do the additional protection, the additional building codes to have a fortified roof. Or if you're replacing an existing roof,
yes,
then you can get a grant. And I know the rules have not been formalized yet, but it's roughly $10,000, I think, is what they're proposing that you can apply for. Mm-hmm. And so once you get a fortified roof, there was another law that was passed this session that the insurance companies have to give you a discount for that roof.
And some insurance companies are knocking down as much as 50%. I don't think everybody's doing that, but
I hadn't seen that. Yeah, 10% I think is what they're looking at. 10% and mm-hmm. and again, the thing is those rates are going to have to be actuarially justified.
Okay.
So that's going to take some time.
Let's talk about what goes into this though, because when we talk about fortified homes, the rest of the home, there's nothing else going on. It's just the roof.
Correct.
Okay.
And the Fortified Roof Program that Louisiana adopted from Alabama, they're the state that has the most experience with fortified roofs. They've got somewhere around 30,000 roofs, I believe, over many years have been fortified. And it's a building code. There's a couple of things that you have to do, again, to make your roof fortified. Waterproof barrier, some certain types of nails and a nailing pattern. And then some splash guard, I believe, are the three things. And I'm not a roofer, so don't hold me to that. But, at the end of the day, it's designed to prevent water, one, to keep your roof on your house, and two, prevent water from coming into the interior. Mm-hmm. And as you know, if you can do that, then you can recover quicker, faster, you have less damage, and that's the design of the Fortified Roof Program.
But along with that, the roofers have to meet a certain qualification or certification in order to get this business done too, right?
They have to go through a certification process. I believe it's an online, it's a training, my understanding, so that when they do put the roofs on that they meet those standards.
Right. So, and this is why I say it's going to affect, I think a lot of people are going to want the fortified roof. Because if you tell me I can lower my homeowner's insurance, I'm looking to sign up.
But you're going to have to replace your existing roof. So you're going to have to incur that cost.
Yes.
And then apply for a grant, which,
yes.
Again, the rules aren't out. So that's why I say it's a long-term solution.
Gotcha.
It's a long-term fix. It'd been great if we'd had this program up and running, right after Laura and Delta and Zeta and Ida, because we've replaced hundreds of thousands of roofs,
here in Louisiana, you never go too long without having the need for, the ability to, you never have the roofer tell you, they're not going to sign off on it. Between the hurricanes and then the hailstorms in the winter, you're going to catch something at some point.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think it's a good program. Mm-hmm. It's don't expect to change overnight.
Okay.
That. But it's something that, I'm in favor of. I'm glad to see it got some funding, and hopefully, you know, the legislature continues to fund this on a year-by-year basis.
Okay, that was my next question, though, was if it's off to a quick start, will we see more from the legislature the quicker the grants run out, the quicker the money's applied for? Or is this something that the legislature's, is this really their job to step in and say, yeah, we'll buy you a roof?
Well, you know, another solution is the Louisiana building codes. You know, if we increase the building codes to make it so that every roof that's built or every new roof that's put on a home match those, then the legislature wouldn't have to fund that on a go-forward basis.
What would it take to get that done?
You know, that's a good question. It's the adoption of building code standards.
Mm-hmm.
In Louisiana, I think after Katrina, a law was passed to increase, you know, to make the building codes more stringent.
Mm-hmm.
And that just became the norm.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, I would guess that there might be an interest in doing that go forward in Louisiana.
The more folks can get fortified roofs, the more strict the building codes are, the more stringent the building codes are, the more likely we are to see a want for participation from the insurance front.
Well, the more attractive home you have from an insurance company's perspective, if you've got a fortified roof versus if your neighbor doesn't have a fortified roof, mm-hmm. well, then the insurance company would more than likely want to offer you a better rate than the one that's not. And,
yes.
and like I said, there was a law that's passed that says if you have a fortified roof, they have to create, you know, a policy formula that gives you a discount.
So if we back up to before the session started, there was a big discussion about what to do to attract more insurance companies to do business here in Louisiana. And this was part of that discussion. How big of a role do you think what got done during this legislative session can play in that courtship?
Well, I mean, it was definitely a step. And Brian, as you and I have discussed on your program before, you know, it's steps like this we have to take every single session. We can't just say, okay, we've done some insurance reform this year and and look to something else.
Right.
You know, if you look at Louisiana.
We're so good at that, though.
Well, but there's industries that we do. You know, in Louisiana, you know, manufacturing, oil and gas, film. I mean, we constantly are, and I'm for all those. I'm for economic programs that encourage companies to come to Louisiana and to do business in Louisiana and stay in Louisiana. And we do a good job of talking about those and refining and, you know, fine-tuning them, if you will,
yeah.
all the time. We need to take the same approach with insurance reform, bringing companies in. We can't just say, okay, we did this year, and let's go focus on something else. And, you know, and look, I'll tell you that that's part of the reason, you know, my platform for running for Commissioner of Insurance. I want to focus on things that we can do every single session and work with, you know, the leadership and work with the legislative delegation to constantly reform and tweak bills, laws, regulations to make Louisiana an attractive state for insurance companies.
We're talking with Tim Temple about the insurance, what got done on the insurance front within the legislative session. Actually, if we could stick with the courtship of insurance companies, before the session started, some money was thrown into a little pot, and that pot was meant to bring more business to Louisiana. Have we been able to, are we far enough in to be able to determine if that's showing any success or not?
Well, and you're talking, Brian, about the Insure Louisiana Incentive Program.
Yeah.
And we had a special session in, I believe it was the end of January, 1st of February. $45 million was requested by the Department of Insurance. $42 million was allocated. They handed out the $42 million. It was designed to attract new insurance companies to Louisiana. My understanding is it was most of the money, I think 8 of the 9 companies or 7 of the 8 companies were already doing business. So we attracted a total of 1. That's my understanding. So this past session, they asked for additional funding. I haven't seen this in you know, the session just finished here, and I think everybody's still trying to find out where money went. But I was told $7.5 million additional dollars were allocated to this program to help, again, whether it's attract new companies or just give money to existing companies. Look, I'm out on the campaign trail all the time. I've talked to agents. I've talked to insureds. I've talked to insurance companies. My understanding is that companies have not started using this money to write new policies.
Okay.
It didn't bring additional capacity yet. And, again, my understanding is that companies are going to wait until after hurricane season before they start writing new policies.
Okay.
Because, if you think about it, why would you want to write a new policy right in the middle of or right at the beginning of a hurricane
season? No, you wouldn't.
You wait until November.
But we looked at the beginning of hurricane season as being the deadline to get in there for those that were in need of a new policy.
Right. And so, I do think that this will bring some capacity, but I don't want to put the expectation that it's just going to be like this flood of all these new companies writing.
Don't say flood.
Know. Right. We don't want to say that.
We got Tim Temple in the studio. Okay, so follow up on that one, and this was something that I believe you and I have talked about before from that that topic, is was the most important part new companies or rewarding companies who never stopped doing business here?
Well, I think it needs to be a balance of both, right? Because you're right, companies, I mean, you know, we had, again, pick your number, 9, 12 companies that went insolvent. Mm-hmm. But lots more didn't. And those companies, you know, they were charging adequate rate. They had purchased, you know, proper levels of reinsurance. They had the, you know, right surplus on hand. Mm-hmm. They took care of their business the way that we expect them and that they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And they didn't get rewarded, you know, using that analogy. The companies can apply for this incentive money, but, you know, the incentive money comes with strings, as you would expect.
Yeah.
So the question, I think, that a company that's doing business in Louisiana already and successfully survived the hurricanes, do they want to change their model and tie their hands, so to speak, by accepting some of this money? That's for them to decide. But I mean, there are strings attached to this.
We got a couple minutes left. Tim Temple's our guest. We're talking about insurance issues that went through the legislative session. Before we get chatting, I want to make sure we cover whatever caught your eye during the session. What was one of the biggest things that you saw make its way through?
Well, you know, talking about attracting companies, there was a bill that addressed file and use. And in Louisiana, we have I will call it an antiquated system. There are a few other states that do this, but if a company wants to change their policy forms, they have to get prior approval.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bill that went through and passed, and now insurance companies, like the competitive states that we want to be like, where they file their policy form and start using it, and then it's up to the department to make sure that it's adequate. That will help attract new companies, I believe. Another one that prohibits the commissioner of insurance from disallowing companies to change their rates based on an arbitrary time period. It's called a desk rule, and currently, if you change your rates more than once every 12 months, that's it. You can only do it once every 12 months.
Okay.
There's a law that kind of clears that up that says you can't deny a company rate change based on that, you know, an arbitrary time period.
Okay.
So that, again, that allows companies to change their rates as needed, which the other states that are competitive, Texas and Mississippi even, and Arkansas, those states allow that. That's what we want to do. We want to emulate that. So those were, I think, what I'd call big wins, indicating a change to the industry that Louisiana is paying attention. We do want your business here. We want you to come and write policies. And so, you know, we want to make it more friendly from a regulatory standpoint for you to come.
There was one that I saw, and I don't know if this is going to be a big deal or not, but I believe it was Senator Talbot put it out there. It was a bill to prevent citizens' property from stop class action lawsuits against citizens' insurance.
Well, I know that there was LIGA, the Louisiana Insurance Guarantee Association.
Same bill.
Which,
yes.
Okay, so it's not citizens, it's LIGA. There was a bill that passed that gave them some additional protection.
Okay.
That you talk about. It also allowed them to increase their assessment from 1% to 2%, and that's the money that they use to pay claims from insolvent companies. Mm-hmm. And then they also required, which makes sense, like a data transfer plan, so that when a company does go insolvent, before this bill passed, and it's obviously not in effect yet, insurance companies had all different systems and ways of that they, you know, kept their policies, their claims, their accounting. You know, everyone had maybe their own different system. This will create a unified plan so that if a company does go insolvent, there's a way for them to easily transfer that data to LIGA. It just makes that system smoother, and for you, the claimant.
But it also protects LIGA as well in case anything else was.
Well, the protection part did of that bill, yes.
Yeah.
But the data transfer plan, actually, it's a technical thing if you think about it, but it actually makes sense that way LIGA can get the claims information quicker,
mm-hmm.
which means that they can help get that claim paid to you, the claimant, faster.
So. Overall, give me a grade, top to bottom. How did the legislature do when it comes to insurance
matters? Oh, look, I'll give them an A for effort. I mean, because there was a lot of bills that were brought up, and of course, you know, budget was the one that sucked all the oxygen out of the room. Of course. So, you know, I think a lot of people wanted to see more from the, you know, I'll call the insurance legislation. There was some good stuff on making us more attractive. There was some good things on trying to protect, you know, the claimant, the policyholder. Mm-hmm. We made some steps there. But again, Brian, this is one of those things we got to keep every single session. Just keep pushing forward, one foot in front of the other. And look, we'll get there. I truly believe that, you know, in my head and in my heart. And at the end of the day, look, your listeners know this. I mean, insurance is just the cost has gone through the roof, yeah. Literally through the roof. And look, when you can't afford insurance, then that impacts the economy on so many different levels. We could talk for hours on that.
No, absolutely. That's why we try to have this conversation regularly, but we are out of time for this particular end of it. He is Tim Temple. We always appreciate your time, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. I appreciate your listeners' time.